football on off the ball.
We had that one campaign where we played Sweden, Italy. I think we smashed Sweden twice. We played Italy at home, drew, but had a really good game off them, so I knew there was a lot of quality in that team.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
The Power Rankings on Off the Ball with Harvey Norman, official stats sponsor of the GAA.
Yeah, here we are. Some people like the football and hurling, the actual matches. Some people like the post-match analysis, but most of us these days just like Tuesdays and Wednesdays where we actually get to rank the counties, the most important part of any GAA week. And it is Tommy Rooney's football power rankings today, and Tommy Rooney joins us now. How are you doing, Tommy?
Very well, fellas. How are you?
Matthew Brennan is here as well. Matthew, another win under the belt Lakesiders. Lakesiders, Lake County.
Lake County, yeah. Lakers. Well, there was two Lake Counties involved at the weekend. There, Cavan with their multiple lakes and us with our gorgeous lakes. So the gorgeous lakes came out.
I have to say, as a regular driver through Cavan, I would say their lakes are gorgeouser.
No, well, there's just more of them. You know, you're not seeing our lakes. I'd say that's all the difference.
Rona, as a Cavan woman, looked through the window, ready to get very insulted at me as I praised her county. But Tommy, before we get into the power rankings, I just wanted to luxuriate on another great weekend. Like it's beginning to get a little bit kind of like too much now. Like there's this sort of like regular run of the mill hurling season, and then all you have is these like classic after classic after classic.
Every game.
The whole point of football is that there's supposed to be more matches anyway, so it's not, it doesn't need to reach the heights that the hurling championship does to compete. And yet here we are. Even the Mayo Monaghan game is like, oh, grand, I've watched too much football this week anyway. I can go off about my business. I'll keep an eye on it to see Cobb MacDonald do a bit of magic every now and then. Then you look up and Monaghan are doing what Monaghan do. And here we go again. We're going to finish the weekend with another classic.
Just keeps on giving, lads. And so much fun to cover and work on and chat about every week. And yeah, another classic in Clonus where, you know, I'm going to put my hands up at half time. I'm into the Football Pod WhatsApp group saying, boys, I'll be ready to rock for 7:45. There's no way there's going to be much to talk about after this game. Mayo are getting the job done. But Monaghan, I watched it back late last night. I watched it back after Love Island last night just to get a proper read on it. I wanted to get my head in the right place. And, you know, I don't think there's any point in me trying to explain how or why it happened. It's just football today. And there's now room for chaos, and there's room for teams to produce a little bit of magic and reel another in. And Mayo were very good in this game, and there's a lot the Mayo can take away from it and can build on from it. But Monaghan, glorious. And if young Bobby McCall doesn't go down with that cruel injury,
yeah,
I'd say Monaghan could have won that game because he was unbelievable.
Yeah, we'll get to it, and we'll get to Westmeath's win as well. But the one thing I'll say, just to kind of to round up the point about like how incredible the week is, like there was a very, like some would say, boring Champions League final. I thought it was gripping.
I was just gonna say this,
you know, yeah. Like there was, and that's on at the same time. And I just found myself completely like engrossed, dragged into watching my phone on silent as Westmeath and Cavan just went back and forth and back and forth. The both games went to extra time, and I just didn't expect Westmeath and Cavan to have my attention over an Arsenal PSG extra time Champions League final this year. That just was not on my bingo card. And I think it says it all about what football is becoming. Loud in Dublin, I think, was easily the worst televised game of the year so far up until, their original game in the Leinster Championship was the worst televised game of the year so far. And then they completely delivered, especially in the second half this week. So just unbelievable stuff. And obviously it's had a huge mark on Tommy's power rankings as well. Before we do move on, though, if you do have any gripes with Tommy's selections, which we're about to reveal, you can get in touch with us on the Off The Ball WhatsApp, 0879 180 180. Email us, enter@offtheball.com. Let us know who you would change and why. And Harvey Norman have very kindly given us tickets to this Saturday's Leinster Hurling Final in Croke Park to give away. Ooh. Dublin and Galway. That's a good one.
That is a very good one.
I was at the corresponding fixture 2013 when Dublin broke the hoodoo. And there was an unbelievable atmosphere in Croker that day. They could do it again this week.
Well, Dublin really is a hurling county now, after all.
I'd say they're higher than Tommy has them in the football rankings and Will's power rankings. That's for sure. Okay, we'll get into it, I think, Tommy. Let's go. There's not much happening, obviously, in the bottom two. I will read through them quickly. 33, New York. 32, Waterford. 31, London. 30, Tipperary. 29 Limerick, 28 Antrim, 27 Carlow, 28 Leitrim, 25 Clare. We're not going to get much difference in them for the rest of the season. The third page could change eventually, but hasn't this week because we've still got Tailteann Cup games to go. But it's 24 Fermanagh, 23 Longford, 22 Wicklow, 21 Sligo, 20 Wexford, 19 Offaly, 18 Laois, and sorry, Laois at 19, Offaly at 18, and down at 17. Let's move on to page two, because this is where we're going to have some talking points.
Mm.
Not least when we talk about the draw a little bit later on, Tommy, because he's mentioned off the ball breakfast this morning, Cavan are at 16 and Kildare at 15. They both got the tough draws, let's face it. Or certainly the on-paper tough draw when it comes to Cavan. But we have Derry sticking at 14 after their loss to Armagh. Meath down in 13. Here's the big one. Dublin have dropped four places on Tommy Rooney's GA football power rankings down to 12th place. Monaghan go down a couple to two, Tyrone go up one, and Louth up three to 9th place. The county story of the week, Tommy, is Louth coming back from inertia and I don't know what other way you would describe their performance in against Dublin in the Leinster Championship, to what was more the Louth that we've known and loved over the last couple of years, to go and deservedly win the game in Croke Park on Sunday.
Yeah, there's a lot of unkind words you could use for that performance in Portlaoise. You could go to soft, weak, to let
cowardly
themselves down.
No, you wouldn't say that word.
Maybe they froze. Maybe they cowered under the weight of being favourites against the Dubs, having not beaten them in 53 years. Maybe I'm being a little harsh here. I don't think I am, and I think the Louth players had those conversations with themselves afterwards, and they can look themselves in the eye now after that performance, because Dublin put 124 on them and they still bet them. And you know, Dublin going forward were better, and you might be wondering, have I been harsh on Dublin here docking them 4 points? But I actually think Dublin should have come out afterwards and addressed the media. They haven't told us why they opted not to do that, but I think that was a weak move. I think if they wanted to take a stance, it would have been to come out strongly afterwards and, you know, talk about perhaps how they felt they were treated, given the fact that Ger Brennan is still suspended, and if the CCCC don't fix their game for Sunday next week, he's going to miss their next game too. And I'm not saying that Galway would have moved up a point or would have been docked a point going off Fitzy's performances last night in Castlemore, but Dublin's performance on and off the field at the weekend was unbecoming of a team that have won so many All-Irelands in recent memory, and they're in a tough spot. And surely Cavan and Dermot McCabe will smell a little bit of blood in Breffni, and perhaps the Cavan fans might actually turn up, because I know Dublin's core support, their diehards, will surely travel and give the team a bit of backing, because they need it. They're at a low ebb right now. They bloody well need it. But surely that Cavan team that pushed the Leinster champions so close in Westmeath and Mullingar will smell blood, because the juggernauts, Kerry and Dublin, they got the Man City draw. The draw that Man City usually get in the FA Cup or the Champions League. They got the softer side of the draw this week. But Kildare and Cavan must be smelling a bit of blood, because there are injury troubles in Kerry, and Dublin are at a severely low ebb.
Mm. Yeah, I think Cavan will definitely be excited by the idea of Dublin coming to town, especially, you know, Dublin haven't been very impressive in Croke Park at all this year, even going back to the league. But it would still be more daunting for Cavan going there than welcoming Dublin to Breffni Park. I think as far as your power rankings go, with the big drop for Dublin down to 12, is probably confirmation of what we were all kind of suspecting over the last couple of weeks, in that they had a bit of credit in the bank, and now that, I wouldn't say that credit is totally gone, but that they had a couple of those guys back. Conn, albeit probably not at full fitness, was good at the weekend, but he played, and they were still beaten and conceding 4 goals in the way they did, when in the Westmead game they were actually pretty decent defensively, I thought, for the majority of that game, especially as far as conceding goals go, and that sort of went out the window at the weekend. So
They're definitely, I think, not having Padder or Coffee Burn in midfield is a big deal for them, to be honest. And even you see how Louth won the game in the end. Not to say he would have still been on the pitch at that stage, but you know, that's a presence Dublin don't have at the moment. Had to play Kilkenny there this week. And like, as well, I just think there's no strength in depth, Tommy. I really look at that bench and look, there is an element of not knowing new players over the first year or two of them being there, not knowing what they could contribute. But what we have seen so far, you don't look at that bench and think, oh, Dublin can change things here. Like, they bring on Keane Murphy, corner back, and you're thinking, like, that's the best they could do at the moment. You know, there's no game changers.
You could hear a pin drop in the lobby. It was that quiet.
The referee letting play continue. One last throw.
It's obviously hard now because of the way that's all ended, but
Scales is up after it. Scales wins ahead.
I'll have that forever.
Yeah, there's the goal. That's Troy Parrott. That is unbelievable.
Inner Drive, Episode 1 with Troy Parrott, out now on YouTube or wherever you get your podcasts. Brought to you by Allianz, a proud sponsor of Irish sport.
Off the Ball.
And I'm going to compare a couple of teams here, right? Louds bring Casey Byrne, Kieran Casey Byrne off the bench. Man of the match, 3 points off the bench. That AFL ladder catch at the end, unbelievable. They bring off Ryan Burns, who kicks a two-pointer with his first touch, an All-Star nominee last year. They bring on Tommy Dernan, who, if he wasn't an All-Star nominee last year, probably should have been, like, an absolute powerhouse in midfield. They also bring on Paul Matthews, who started so many of their games this year at wing forward. He kicks a point late on too. Dublin, you mentioned Keane Murphy, who would have started in All-Ireland finals, but is on the periphery of the team at the minute. And they bring on Lee Gannon, who is just not right at the minute. You look at Mayo, like, and I think Mayo got the balance of their team right this weekend. They had three championship debutants, but they also had two kids playing in just their second game in Hugh O'Loughlin, who was a monster around midfield, and Kobe McDonald, who kicked 1-4 and had that huge game at that huge moment at the end. You know, just a second appearance for those two boys as well. What did they have coming off their bench? They have Paddy Durkin, who comes on and kicks a point. They had Dermot O'Connor, who has been a two-time Young Footballer of the Year and a soldier for them over the years. And they had Aidan O'Shea, who comes on to break the record for an outfielder in Championship football, making his 100th appearance. And they just had that little bit extra on the bench. Monaghan had Bobby McCall coming on and making the difference. But the rest of Monaghan's bench were either kids or there were fellas who were coming back from injury. So,
Derry Armagh very similar as well, really. I know that Armagh had a bit of a lead, but Derry are bringing on young lads for the future who probably do have a big future, but nobody who's making that immediate impact. Whereas Armagh, as we know, this hilarious thing of bringing on Oisin O'Neill after 63 minutes when the game's basically over, like, you know.
But that is the difference with lads biding their time over those years as well, coming in for 18, 24 months and knowing they're not going to get a look in, and then when they do get called upon, they take their chance and they hang around, and that's how you build the depth in these panels. Because I was saying, Armagh, there's probably lads who aren't even on the panel who are off playing with their clubs, who are would be well able to look after themselves in a game like that against Derry.
But going back to Dublin, nobody did that better than them, because if you look at the man who you do a podcast with every week, Tommy, like, I would say never assured of his place on the team despite putting in all-star like performances. You look at their best forward at the moment with Conn only coming back, and Cormac Costello spent the prime of his career starting the odd game for Dublin, coming on, always being an impact sub, feeling hard done by and being talked about by fans as being hard done by, but ultimately the competition meant that he never had that guaranteed place. Where fair enough, he does now and absolutely deserves it, but who's that dub on the bench who's saying, I should be starting every game here? You know what I mean? Why am I not getting a run? Paddy Small would have been another one who would have never been guaranteed his place. All these guys are the mainstays now, and that next generation of lads who are being hard done by are simply not, you know. And it is mad to see. It's mad to see Dublin at number 12 in your power rankings, Tommy. Like, they've lost to, and this is honestly,
and it's not even a hot take either. To have
it's
12.
Not absolutely. They don't deserve to be any higher. And you have to say, if Meath had their act together this year, if Derry had their act together this year, they could be as low as 14. You know, like, it really is just worth noting. And this, I really don't mean this in any kind of offensive way. It's great that the pack is tightening. It's brilliant that counties like Louth and Westmeath are competitive. But Dublin, at any period in their history, losing to Louth and Westmeath in the same year, it's almost unthinkable. Like, you know, it is. I know, obviously, they wouldn't have been able to face them both in the old days, but you would just think it would never have happened. And that's brilliant because other counties are rising. But we have to realise this is almost a... For all Dublin didn't win All-Irelands every year up until, you know, Pat Gilroy came along, they were never at such a place that they weren't beating these other teams around them in Leinster. You know, so it's like, for it to be such a dramatic fall, we're still almost comparing them to what the Jim Gavin team did and the six in a row.
Yeah.
But it's almost nothing to do with that. This is like, by any era, Dublin are in absolute, like,
disarray.
Crisis at the moment.
Yeah, and absolutely. And I think there's a, I'm going to use a word here, I hope it's right, but a conglomeration of reasons for that as well. Do you know, there's a number of, I don't know if that's the right word, but my brain has been on the road since six this morning. But like, there's injuries, there's the new rules, there's the fact that they were so good at the old rules, there's new management teams, there's the manager getting banned. There's so many players that could still be playing that have retired and maybe have filled their bucket given the success that they had. So many lads, like early 30s, that are still producing it for other counties, but have obviously emptied themselves for Dublin already, that you can't expect any more from them. So there are so many reasons why Dublin are going to have to rebuild now. But there's also the fact that they haven't had much success at underage level in the last 5 years. It doesn't seem to be the perfect system set up at underage level like they had when the Blue Wave was put together back in the day. And like, you know, I happened to be in Craig Kieran on Saturday night. I was helping out with a club fundraiser, and they have, you know, their clubhouse right at the back of Parnell Park, and there was a Dublin Camogie game on at the time, and you know, they're building something really powerful in Dublin Camogie at the minute. The hurlers have this potential now to go on and drive on at the minute. And, you know, I was there with Anthony Daly and a couple of other legends. Sean Shanley, who was the Dublin chairman during the five in a row, is a Craig Kieran great as well. And he was there too. And there was this chat about where football and hurling is at the minute. And another point on that, I never knew there were so many Parisians in Craig Kieran, because the Champions League final was on in the clubhouse at the time, and the roars and the cheers when Gabriel put that penalty over the bar. I hadn't even heard that many French accents, but anyways, must be Spurs fans in disguise. But
it was like, just Dalo, was it? Dublin,
could have been Dalo, yeah. Dalo was straight on the blower, sending a couple of voice notes to a couple of Arsenal buddies. But there's a danger here in Dublin football at the minute. And look, I don't doubt it. I think they will get their act together. I think they will pull themselves together. I think they will be contenders again. And I think if they actually had all their bodies together, they would be far higher than 12th in the power rankings. Mm. But, you know, themselves and Monaghan, they've had big injury troubles. And Monaghan, like, probably the inverse in terms of a county with, like, compared to infinite resources in Dublin's end, Monaghan punching above their weight. Like, Monaghan could be far higher ahead than Dublin this year, and they probably had similar injury crises this year as well. So yeah, that's Dublin. They're down in 12th. They could drop even further if Meath or Derry get a bit of a run together, and it's a sorry place for them to be. But I also think that they probably should have come out and addressed what they were feeling after the game rather than shunning the media. I don't think that was the right call.
Do you reckon that call was made pre-game? I know we're speculating here, and there's only so much of that you can do.
Couldn't tell you, Matthew, because I tried to dig into what the reasons were, and you know, we were just given that the management opted not to speak, or the stand-in management. And look, they're within the rights to do that, but I think it would have been maybe more powerful if they had come out and said,
I don't think you'd want to do that after a loss, though. It's not to defend them not speaking to the media, because I do think you have to stand up with these things, but I do think if they had planned to come out and say, you know, there's a double standard here, and we've been made, you know, our new manager has been made an example of, and that example hasn't been followed. You can't say that after losing to Loud, because it just feels like sour grapes. So maybe the protest was the compromise. Like, so we don't know. I'm sure we will hear more on it eventually, and it will be interesting to hear if they do put that game for the Sunday, and it's Ger Brennan's first day of availability, how involved and how much he will be. I'm sure he'll be there and so on. But my understanding, I heard somebody talk about this on the radio last week, is that like his ban is a real, real ban. Like, he's dropping his kids at the gate to go training and leaving. You know, like, he's not allowed into a GA ground at the moment. Like, this isn't the kind of he's there and training every Tuesday and Thursday, like, you know.
Yeah, we know all about the history of GAA bans, and you get banned for a month and the games get moved and you don't miss any games, or, you know, you might miss a couple of maybe league games or challenge games or something. This is literally pound for pound the most penal punishment that I can recall in the GAA. Like, Ger Brennan messed up. He lost the head in a moment of probably madness. He fronted up. He admitted it. He shook hands. He apologised. By God, did he get punished for, you know, as James has done, he describes it, a wet willy on Cian Branagh.
Yeah, you can't have time bans in such a condensed season anymore. It has to be match bans. But obviously, because this is a wide GA wide ban and so on, that's why they've done it. It's not a player ban as such, where he's just missing games as such. He's missing time. Before we move on to page sorry, before we just move on to Monaghan as we stick on page two, is I just want to mention just quickly on Dublin, little stat. It's not the Harvey Norman stat of the week. Tommy has a much better one. 1973 was the last time Loud beat Dublin. In 1974, Dublin, under Kevin Heffernan, Heffo's army, the boys are the Jacks are back, okay, and Dublin won, beat Galway in the All-Ireland final, and went on to win four All-Irelands in the next decade.
Why isn't that our stat of the week? That is a cracker of
they
a stat.
They won in 74, 76, 77 and 83. So yeah, four All-Irelands in the next decade on the back of losing to Loud in 1973. Yeah.
Are you suggesting that that's what's going to happen now?
I don't see it at the moment, but I guarantee they didn't see it in 1973
either.
Anyway, on last one on page two, right? Our Hawkeye moment of the week. Coming from the Monaghan Mayo game. As we mentioned at the start, Tommy, this was, you were at up in Clonus for this one. It was in Clonus, wasn't it? It just felt, even by Monaghan standards, and even with a win behind them, Mayo had done too much. And Monaghan got back into it, as they do. And like the goal they scored was just spectacular opportunism to just go and take the bull by the horns and go and score. The second one, I mean, in particular, the one, you know, from a kick out and just go, right, like something of a computer game. We'll take a kick out, we'll have two passes, we'll score a goal, we'll move on. I just loved it. I just feel like we haven't seen that kind of football in so many years. But there was a couple of close calls in this game that meant they could have done more than the, you know, they were a point shy at the end. It could have been, there's certainly one possibly. Point in particular they could have got.
Yeah,
possibly. And, hands up, I didn't actually caught this at the time, and we're going back to the 42nd minute of the game here. And, you know, when we're covering games, you're trying to stay on top of everything. I'd often have an ear in on the TV commentary to try and stay on top of it, but I think I was doing an update with John Duggan at the time. Bobby McCall fetches a ball and Jack Livingston makes a save. His, I think, fourth of maybe eight saves in this game that he made. He made four from Bobby McCall. McCall hit the crossbar two before eventually getting his goal. And McCall then, ball comes out to him, he spins and drives a shot, which is wave wide. There's a bit of a roar at the time, I don't think too much of it. After the game, Mayo win by a point, we're doing our post-match press conferences, I'm late into Gabriel Bannigan, so we'll throw a couple of questions at him. Bannigan leaves, Andy Moran comes in with Darragh Byrne, we get 10-12 minutes with them. And at the end, Morris Brosnan pipes up and says, what about the point that wasn't given? Did anyone ask Bannigan? No. So we go chasing Bannigan, myself, Morris, and one or two others. We go running through the tunnels of Clonus to try and find Gabriel Bannigan. Morris lays it out to him. Did anyone ask you about this? And Gabriel goes, no, do you know what? Nobody did, but will you give me a minute? Takes a second, takes a breath. We hit record and he gives his answer. And obviously tells us that if it is wrong and if it is a ghost point, as RT were telling us, and Conor McManus at the time was saying, we should have got a point. He was, over our shoulder at the time. He had been working for RT. Morris sent it to me afterwards, the point, and I watched it back. And my instant reaction was, point. When I watch it closer, I'm thinking, we need Hawkeye here.
Mm.
And I think that's what we're missing. I think that ball might have gone over the post. But by God, is it a close call? The umpires make the call, and I think they've taken maybe a bit of heat here. I'm not sure we can tell or we know. Have you seen it back? Have you seen
how close it was? Close, yeah. I thought it was a point now, I have to say. From the angle from where you'd have been looking at it in the stand, which is usually the best view, I would say, of a ball coming from the right-hand side,
that
looked a score. The only thing is, can I play devil's advocate on this and let you in, Matt, as well?
Yeah.
It's the 42nd minute of the game. Monaghan are well behind. A lot happens afterwards. I know it's ultimately an accumulation thing. There's a thing out in The Athletic today about how many points everyone every team in the Premier League would have got if big refereeing decisions had been different. It was like, so you're taking away all context of what happens afterwards.
Yeah.
You know, and I would argue the very same here. That is half an hour to go in the match and Monaghan have a long way back. Something changes on the basis of them being a point closer there. I don't think everything just follows the same and the match is a draw and we move on. You know, like, I understand that it's a bad decision or it has the potential to annoy you if you think it's a bad decision. I absolutely get that. I'd be the same. Let's face it, I'm worse than anyone. But in reality, from a neutral's point of view, these things happen, no big deal, let's move on.
Yeah, I tend to be on that side of the fence as well. I think as well it was interesting that there was no, obviously the players will have a similar sort of view as ourselves, depending on where they are on the pitch and not knowing whether it went over or not, but there was little to no complaints at all from any of the players, which, I mean, if they stopped the game in that moment and like, that went over, I don't really know where that goes. I don't know what the end goal, I don't know what the kind of solution is there, but yeah, me personally, when I first saw it, I thought it went over, but that might have been influenced by the fact that the commentary team also thought it went over, so I was like, alright, grand, and then it didn't, and there was a very kind of substantial, oh, that's something might be wrong here. But yeah, I think you obviously would be very aggrieved by it. If you go and lose a game by a point, and there is quite literally a score that happened that you didn't get, if that is the case, then you would be annoyed by it. But I think it's a little bit different as far as refereeing decisions go in football and that sort of stuff, where, you know, if a team gets a penalty or doesn't get a penalty, that will have a very strong knock-on effect on how the team approaches the rest of the game. Whereas if Bobby McCall's point goes over, that won't really change how Monaghan approach the rest of the game and how Mayo approach the rest of the game. But all of that being said, they had a half an hour left to go and make sure they won that game, and ultimately they didn't. So
maybe. I think if they're a point closer, they don't go for that goal with 3 minutes to go.
It's also was the kind of odd sort of two-pointer at the end that didn't really gain them anything. We don't know if he was trying to drop it into the square or if he thought he'd been.
He must have been. That's a bigger Hawkeye moment. He just caught it, didn't he?
No, Max Maguire is a two-point merchant. I think maybe he just, I think the adrenaline got, I could be wrong, I think he was going for it too. Like, he's got, this is another kid with magic.
It's a terrible mistake if he did, though.
Wisconsin. Possibly, but like, again, if Kobe McDonald doesn't catch that ball at the end of the game, if Monaghan break the ball and there's a foul in that 10 seconds, are you telling me Rory Began isn't stitching that ball over the bar from 75
he does, yards but
out?
Like, it's 7 seconds. I think they're going to really struggle to score. You just don't foul.
There would just have to be a foul.
You know, Mayo have to not foul them, and they won't have time to score. Like,
I could be wrong. I didn't ask Max after the game what he was going for, but obviously a kid on his second game, so it was
score.
Again. It was. Maybe he was trying to land it into the square, but they were missing Bobby McCall in there too.
Monaghan have a tough draw now as well. Like, I do feel like they've been on the wrong end of a lot of close calls this year.
It's
and
a
now,
tasty
like,
one.
Yeah, so
themselves and Ross Connell.
A lot of injuries too. That game is in Clonus again though, and look, they're going to have to just get bodies right. My start of the week is from this game.
Exactly. Yeah, we'll move on to page one and then get to the start of the week. We'll just see where everybody is. There's not that much movement on page one at all. Westmeath, they're in there. We'll come back to that. They're up to 8th place. Tommy feeling the pressure of who the co-host is here, I think.
Page one,
I know, yeah. And everything else stays the same, including, so Cork at 7, Mayo stay at 6, Roscommon stay at 5, Galway at 4, Kerry 3, Armagh 2. Armagh didn't do enough against a comfortable win against Derry to overhaul Donegal in number 1. So, Tommy, your start of the week from this game in Monaghan, the Mayo full forward line.
Yeah, I was just having a look at this, and Mayo did so much right in this game. They're lucky, right? But that's the way football has gone, right? That you can be caught by anyone, and they're 12 points up with 20 minutes to go. They're slowing attacks down against the wind. But the bit I want to focus on is some of the positives here. I'm sure there has been bigger scores racked up by full forward lines, or there might be in Championship this year. But the combination of Kobe McDonald, Dara Byrne and Ryan O'Donoghue produced 116 in this game. They produced 112 in the first half. And there's three very different styles of footballers. There's a dynamism there. But I kind of want to use the stat to talk about the chemistry. Okay, and Kobe's goal comes from a Ryan O'Donoghue little pop pass to Dara Byrne, who beats Killian Lavelle, squares it to Kobe, back post. They combine three or four times across this half. There's a Dara Byrne point a little later off his right, where Ryan O'Donoghue burrows through, gives it to Kobe, slips it back out to Byrne. And they're connecting. They're kind of they've got this chemistry. They're very different styles of footballers. They each kick a two-pointer in the first half. And then I think we saw the good and the bad of the Mayo attack in the second half. You know, there was a stat after the game that was put to Andy Moran, and it was about Monaghan. Monaghan had 39 shots in goal in this game. and they only converted 18. Mayo had just 26 shots on goal and they converted 19. So you're looking at a 50% and nearly an 80% conversion rate. But the biggest problem for Mayo was the fact that they failed to finish chances in the second half. And I think this is where we see the room for growth. Like, a lot of potential in that full forward line to come away with 116, a lot of plaudits, but the room for growth for the likes of Kobe McDonald in a second game, Dara Byrne in a second game, Ryan O'Donoghue, who was moved between 14 and 11 and just showed unbelievable leadership and wins man of the match. But in the second half, like, Kobe's and, like, by the way, this is not criticism, this kid is doing his leaving cert today, but it's just a note on the incredible stuff he's doing and the potential he has to do so much more. First three kind of attacks that he gets on in the second half, turned over, turned over, turned over. What does he do in the last play of the game? Wins a mark. What did he do in the kickout just before that? Very nearly won another dramatic mark like Kieran Byrne. He stayed in the game and he was still delivering in the last minute. Comes away with 1-4 and I'm sure he'll grow from that. Dara Byrne, right? Brilliant first half. Takes a free off Ryan O'Donoghue at one stage and stitches it late on for a 2-pointer. First chance of the second half, blasts the goal chance wide. Second chance of the second half, he's inches from a tap and goal. Monaghan go down the other end of the field and bury a goal themselves. Bobby McCall's brilliant goal. But Byrne sticks at it, and when Mayo need a score, he gets a point in the 61st minute before he's taken off. That's his only score of the second half. And Ryan O'Donoghue gets a point. But when Monaghan have them on the racks, he kicks a wide. He's turned over by Ryan O'Toole. He's blocked by Ryan O'Toole. And for many other players, they might go into their shell there. But Ryan O'Donoghue kept looking for the ball. And he wins that late free late on to push him 3 points ahead. And he puts it over the bar. And I just think that showed, I suppose, the potential and maybe the talent that's been unlocked in Mayo and what they have right now. And the fact that their ceiling, I think, is a little bit higher than other counties. In saying that, their debutant goalkeeper makes 8 saves and they give up 10 goal chances. So I just think that's where football...
It's crazy, isn't it?
But that's where football is right now, lads. Yeah. It's a bloody mental game. And I think if you can embrace the chaos and if you can back your fellas with a bit of talent, give them a chance, I just think we're in for some really interesting games of football.
Yeah.
But look, kudos to Mayo and their full forward line. And, you know, Mayo's forwards have been much lamented over the years, and I think unfairly so at times. But, like, the dynamism up top that I saw, I was so impressed with. And I think there's so much room for growth for the three of them together as a partnership.
Yeah. Okay, so Tommy's Harvey Norman stat of the week is a wasteful 116 from the Mayo full forward line at the weekend. But, Matthew, seriously, yeah. I don't think, like, the Kobe X factor is brilliant, but I agree, Byrne was fantastic. The whole Mayo just looked like an exciting team that I still have a lot. I think there's a lot of work to do. I don't think this is going to be the year. And then they're going to lose your man. It's just so annoying, like, because it feels
killer,
like you build into that. But I don't think I'll ever get used to, and we'll see it more and more now, but I don't think I'll ever get used to lads just whacking it from 45 yards. With the wind and it going over the black spot by a mile. Like, it is one of the most enjoyable things to just be added to a sport out of nowhere. People haven't done that in 50 years. Like,
it's so rare. It's incredible. Yeah, it's so rare that something happens in a sport as well where everyone has that exact same feeling of, like, and you know when you're watching a game and it's like, oh, he's after clipping a two. He's like, oh, what is going on? And no one's kind of going, oh, well, like, but, you know, 2 years ago would have been a one pointer or whatever. Yeah. No, it is.
But nobody was kicking, whatever about on the arc, nobody was kicking them beyond the 45.
But you know
two years
only. Ago. Only lunatics.
Yeah, only lunatics, exactly. But the best thing about it is, as well, is you said there that they're whacking it. Some of them aren't whacking it. Some of them are actually just, like, have this outrage. And it's amazing that it's always been in their locker, clearly, because they haven't had enough time to go and hone exactly what this is. They've always been able to do it.
Exactly.
But there's just been no reward to doing it where there is no.
The body, like Conor Parkinson put up the photo of Kobe McDonald's body position and Adam Moynihan, a journalist in Kerry, responded with the side-by-side photo of Kieran McDonald doing the exact same thing years ago. And it's just, it's the perpendicular, like, is it even a 30-degree angle where he's off the deck? Like, and even the power to sell the dummy and step back inside.
His running style there, everything. Like, it's terrible. Yeah. You don't want to be judging a young lad making out his own career off what his father was, especially he's only 18 or whatever, and he's gone off to a different sport. But he looks so like him. It's like, for those of us who remember Kieran, it's like going back in time. Like, he just needs to dye the hair.
I think he's embracing it too. Sure, he made his championship debut with, or maybe his league debut against Monaghan with legacy written on the wristband, you know. So I don't think he's going to hide from that. And like you mentioned, Mayo losing Kobe, like, the best tagger in the AFL at the minute is Oisin Mullen of Kilmaine. Yeah. Like, come on. I'm sure at some stage, if Andy Moran gets the project motoring, we might see a reappearance of Kobe and Mullen to get them over the line in 2030.
Tommy, do you have to go and I'll have the Westmead chat with Matthew on his own? I know you're under time pressure, or do you want to hang around for it?
Is that okay if I step away from the Westmeath chat? Is that alright?
You put them into the top eight.
I'm only joking. I can stay for a couple of minutes. I'm in trim at the minute.
He was in Westmeath.
It's a terrible affliction. You want to get out of there as quick as you can.
the All Ireland launch in a minute, but I just explain why Westmeath are in eighth position. I don't have to do much explaining here, and I'm sure Matthew will talk for the entire county of Westmeath in about 90 seconds. But they're one of two counties in the country that are unbeaten in championship, Westmeath and Armagh. They have delivered in five championship games so far. Yes, Cavan and Conor Casey, the Gowna giant who just appeared on the panel out of nowhere, nearly broke their hearts at the weekend. Yes, I'm sure they're probably on their last legs in a lot of ways, and they've got a tricky game now against Galway. But, like, you got to give them credit and serious kudos for the manner in which they keep delivering. Ronan Wallace is over the road at the minute. I'll be catching up with him at the All-Ireland launch in a little while. Loud have risen up to ninth place. You know, if Loud put their game in RD, where there's a max capacity of 3,000 people against Armagh, which I'm imploring their county board to do, I think we'll have one of the most ferocious and phenomenal atmospheres. And we might see Loud overturning Armagh. I think they could if they put it to RD. I genuinely do. And then they might jump over Westmeath. But like, Westmeath came very close to beating Galway a couple of years ago in old money as well. So Who's to say Westmeath cannot produce another upset? But Matthew, revel in it. Eighth position, first page in the power rankings, Leinster champions. Honestly, man, it mightn't get much better than this for another 20 years.
After Pearse Stadium.
That sounds like wishful thinking on your part, Tommy. I know, I'm only joking. But and you mentioned there about them winning five. That's the first time they've ever won five championship games on a bounce as well.
Wow. Especially that's incredible. You would have won the All-Ireland for half the year. That, like,
and that's the team as well that won the Talent Cup winner a few years ago and didn't manage to put five on the bounce back then. But yeah, I mean, the great entertainers, I think, is a fair tag to give them at the moment. That's three games in a row they've gone to extra time in against three varying different quality of teams. Actually, funny you mentioned Conor Casey, you know, to go off on a little bit of a tangent. His father was actually standing directly behind me in Cusick Park, one of the few Cavan people that was there, and it was himself and what I assume maybe was his mother and aunties and all this sort of stuff. There was five or six of them, and they were making a lot of noise, to be fair to them. And I got chatting into his father afterwards. Obviously, he's only back in the panel, I think, 2 or 3 weeks, which is crazy, and he was lording it around. There was one stage where he claimed a kick out, took 3 or 4 steps and nailed a 2-pointer, and then the one at the end, I mean, sorry, we're talking about scores here and goals here. It was absolutely ridiculous. And he tried a couple more and they didn't come off, but he kept trying them. But look, there's green shoots there for Cavan for sure. But this was a banana skin for Westmeath for sure.
I was going to say, because you had a stat on Off the Ball Breakfast, or ended it, about half the teams who made the final got through, half didn't. Then you had half of the winners, you know, two winners and two losers were the ones that won. So it's very even split. So you almost can't judge, you know, you take nothing from that. Tommy's gone, we'll talk to him later, but you can't judge anything from that, right? But from what I would say is, there are teams who are waiting in the long grass, that Tyrone, Mayo, the couple more that have been targeting these fixtures, and it worked for them. Donegal, obviously, being the biggest example there. I knew I was missing something. Yeah. I think Cavan were one of them, and I also think, like, Westmeath were there to be got this week. And I actually think it's really impressive that they weren't.
Yeah, see, I think
it's really impressive that they, especially when in the 70 minutes, Westmeath should have won the game.
Again.
It gets away from you and you're like, right, we have to go to the well again.
Yeah.
And I just thought that, I thought for them to do it, and again, even there was ebbs and flows and extra time as well, but for them to have that last 2 or 3 minutes where they just kind of stepped up, I think is actually really impressive. It almost doesn't matter who the opposition is in that regard, because it was put up to them and they answered it after so many people assumed the Leinster final be all and end all. How will they get themselves back up for it?
And that's 100% accurate, and there's so many other variables with it as well. So you've obviously got the one that everyone can see, which is the emotional high of winning the Leinster Championship and spending a few days celebrating, which they did. Now, they didn't go ridiculously over the top, they weren't out in the beer for 7 days, but
it's,
you know,
the emotional ebb and flow.
100%. You're also coming to play in Cusick Park, which has been sold out for the first time I can recall. It looked amazing.
Not used to seeing that stadium full,
We walked in and it didn't feel like we were in Mullingar, to be totally honest, because it's just not like that ever, and there's the elephant in the room of Dermot McCabe managing the team last year. There's Cavan, obviously, who'd been off for a couple of weeks at a low ebb, albeit, not where they want to be. But there's plenty of variables there too, and the breeze, actually, probably due to the fact that the stadium was so full, you couldn't really feel it as strongly as maybe it was out on the pitch. And I know it was something that was heavily alluded to on commentary, and Westmead were 6 points up at half time, 10 points up into the second half. They get pegged back once again, look like they have it won. A crazy 2-pointer brings them to extra time. Then the most outrageous weather I've ever come across in my life. It felt like someone was standing over me spraying a hose on top of me for 10 minutes for the second half. I'm not joking. For the first half of extra time. Yeah. And you go in 6 points down at half time in extra time and people are leaving. People are, honest to God, leaving because the weather has gotten is actually that bad that they're thinking there's 10 minutes here, we're 6 points down, we may just beat the traffic here and there's get home as quick as we can. And then suddenly, with 3 minutes to go, they're 2 points up.
Yeah.
You know, so they showed immense character, and I know that's a very easy thing to say, and everyone is saying it, but I think the biggest point to take away from it is that I don't actually think it matters who they're playing against. They just have this weird way about them where they just tend to match exactly what's going on when they need to. Yeah. And there is only so many times you can throw a game away, per se, and get away with it. But I think saying get away with it is probably a little unfair on them because they are going to the well and they're coming out with more than they're...
Yeah, and it's also a skill. Like, so we're talking about Monaghan all year. Like, being able to score in clusters is a part of their makeup. It's not something that they're doing lucky because they're against, their backs are against the wall. That's part of their makeup. It's really good. The dispossession, the Hessen dispossession for the goal, amazing. That must have been a real crowd moment,
wasn't
it?
Absolutely, and as well, and he'd had a couple of negative moments before that as well. He got in on goal and should have scored with the game. I think we were maybe 2 points down. I think we were 2 points down. And it looked like he was caught in two minds maybe as to what to do. Tame enough effort, gets blocked, comes back out. I think we got I think Brandon Kelly maybe scored a point off the back of it. And he also had the free at the very end of normal time, which, retrospectively looking back on, was absolutely miles out against the breeze. It was a very difficult effort. But he himself probably felt as though he also had a 2-point effort at the start of the second half of extra time to drop wide when the game was 6 points in it. So for him to go and have that moment, when that's not really what he's there to do. Mm. He's not there to turn over the ball in the middle of the field and create a goal. He's there to knock over a few frees and maybe have a moment of brilliance, like the 2-pointer in the Leinster final, or even fielding the ball. And that wasn't something even that was going his way, because the kickouts were going against him, which is something that was going very much for them in the Leinster final. So the fact that they were able to still come away with a result, despite the fact that Cavan were getting their kickouts off very easily, Westmead weren't when it got into the melting pot with 10 or 15 minutes to go, and I'm sure a lot of the lads' legs were feeling it, but they still managed to find a way to get over line, and they've done that in every game now. I mean, the Meath game, they nearly threw it away. Clare they nearly threw it away. Dublin they nearly threw it away. Cavan nearly threw it away.
Three extra times in a row.
Three extra times in the bounce. So, look, it's
I thought Armaz's draw stats were a bit much.
Yeah, but, I'm sure there's a lot of lads have made quite a few quid off of that stat over the last couple of weeks. But they have a difficult tie going down to Galway, of course. And I think only two teams who were at home in the last round have been drawn at home again, and Galway are one of them. So Galway would be licking their lips at that, I think. But they've 2 weeks to get the bodies right. There's a lot of sore bodies, I imagine.
Yeah, Galway's game was probably the most straightforward of any of the eight games, I would say. Yeah. Well, actually, probably Donegal's might have been the most straightforward.
In a weird sort of way,
in a weird way. Yeah. Right, come here. Westmead fans are probably best positioned of anyone, match-going Westmead fans, to tell us, do Cavan have a hope against the Dubs?
I think
2 days out, we're seeing those two different oppositions.
Well, I'm looking at... I just think Dublin are very ropey at the minute. I especially, and I said this when Tommy was on here earlier on, I do really think that there's a lot of green shoots from what I saw from Cavan at the weekend on a personal level, and it was something that I think from a couple of the Cavan people who you could overhear in the stadium, Cavan showed something maybe that hadn't been shown in quite a while. They're quite a tame league campaign. Their only victories came against Offaly and Kildare, who were both relegated. They had a bit of optimism going into the Monaghan game. Mm. Perhaps should have gotten something more out of that. Missed a lot of gilt-edged opportunities, a lot of wides. They have a few bodies coming back as well. Darren McPhee wasn't fit to start at the weekend. He came on, was very good. Darrell Lovett was very good. They've found this Conor Casey fella who could be anything. And bringing Dublin to Breffni is going to be something that's going to be mouthwatering for them. And as well as that, we're not seeing many clippings at the moment. You know, you see the odd one, Galway gave Kildare a bit of a clipping for sure.
Yeah, kind of, not too bad.
Yeah. And it was the game was alive for the guts of an hour, you know. So they definitely fancy their chances at it, 100%. If there's ever a time to go and beat Dublin, it's now. Maybe it might get easier in the future for sure. We don't know what Dublin are going to go and be, but over the course of the last decade, like, if you're going to be welcoming Dublin to Breffni Park, it's now you want to be doing it. So I absolutely have a live chance. I think people would associate Kildare and Cavan sort of in the same category. I think Cavan have got a much better chance. I don't know how much better they are. I think they are slightly better than Kildare for sure, but they've got a much better chance of beating Dublin than Kildare do of beating Kerry.
Okay, Tommy has them below Kildare, 16 and 15, but I suppose they haven't won many games this year, so we'll see. They'll go up significantly if they beat Dublin, I would think. But just to remind everyone, because we didn't focus on the top really, but Tommy has still Donegal at 1, Armagh at 2, despite again them beating Derry, probably comfortably by Armagh standards, I would have to say. Derry looking splendid in their proper colours of white and red, rather than red and white, by the way. Campaign to get that as their home jersey again, please. Kerry, despite their not-so-nice jersey this year, staying 3. Galway 4, Roscommon 5, and Mayo don't jump, they say, at 6. In the Harvey Norman Power Rankings on Off the Ball with Harvey Norman, official stats sponsor of the GEA. Matthew, thank you very much.
Cheers, Nick.
Just a reminder again, if you disagree with any of Tommy's selections, you can get in touch with us on the Off The Ball WhatsApp. That's 087-9180-180. Or email us, enter@offtheball.com. Let us know who you would change and why, and be in with a chance of winning tickets for Saturday's Leinster Hurling Final between Dublin and Galway, with thanks to Harvey Norman. We will be back with Hurling Power Rankings next week, because there's no football. And then back with Tommy and Matthew in a couple of weeks' time after the epic Round 3 qualifiers.
The Power Rankings on Off The Ball with Harvey Norman, official stats sponsor of the GAA.